Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Kate Loving and the Collective Wisdom. My name is Kate Loving Schenck of katelovingschenck.com, author of the Prayer Prescription Series. In fact, the Prayer Prescription Series is the sponsor of this show and my upcoming Google Hangout webinar series called Uprooting Our Fear of Death, Bringing It Out of the Closet. The first show is 9/11, 2013, with my guest Julia Asante, PhD, author of The Last Frontier, Exploring the Afterlife and Transforming the Fear of Death. My guest on this show this evening is Maureen Torpey, author of her book, Moving Forward, Downsizing, Moving, and Settling In. She's written other books as well about this same topic. Maureen is in the middle of a virtual book tour for this book. Joining me now is Maureen Torpey. Hello, Maureen.
Hello, Kate.
How's the virtual book tour going?
Well, it's a bit hectic. We're in the home stretch now. There's two more events after today, so we're cruising into the home plate.
I guess for those of our listeners who may not know what a virtual book tour is, our mentor, Deborah Lamsky, and I think there's others out there who do this too, have described and have taught us how to take our book on a tour through the blogosphere. And people host you, have been hosting you, and you give them copy to put onto their blog, and then they put it up there, and we hope to drive traffic to their blog, which is sort of what they get out of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
I know
pretty
how
exciting.
That is.
I love the concept because it saves a lot of traveling and wear and tear. You know, this way we prepare the content and send it to people who've agreed to host us on their blogs. And we can do a chunk of time, a different place every day or several places on the same day, and still come out fairly intact health-wise.
And you're not spending any gas, any money for gas, in which we all know that that's been
expense
for all of us these last many years.
The transportation, yeah, saves a whole lot on transportation, too.
So what got you interested in this topic, and how did you start your business, which is the declutter coach?
Well,
it
was kind of a roundabout way. I've kind of always been organized, but I never knew that people could make money at being organized and helping others become organized.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I relocated in 2003, so about 10 years ago, and decided to try something different once I was here. So I looked into professional organizing. I found out that it was a real type of work, real profession. And so I signed up to the professional organizers in Canada and started taking courses and learning all I could about the topic. And that's how I got going with organizing the business. When it came to writing the book, is that where you want me to go?
Yeah,
about
go right ahead.
Book?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let me see, years-wise, probably somewhere in the late 90s, my mother had an accident and injured her spine and was unable to go and live by herself anymore. And I'm an only child, so there's no sibling support. I lived about 4.5 hours away.
Mm-hmm.
And so she had to go into a nursing home because she couldn't physically, she couldn't take care of herself anymore. And I had to deal with all of her things and getting rid of them and her not being able to help because of her situation. And I found it was terribly emotional, and I wasn't at all prepared for the idea of people coming in, and even though they were family members, and this was all quite fine that, you know, she said, take whatever you want. And that was fine with me, too, until I started seeing it happening, and then I got really upset. Mm-hmm. So I realized then that there's a whole emotional component to this that we never really think about, or at least I hadn't ever thought about it before then.
Right.
So after I was in business for a while, I started thinking about all of this that went on years before. And I thought, you know, if I was having those feelings, and I'm a fairly down-to-earth person, there's not much that, you know, in level, kind of level-headed, there's not much that really upsets me. And I thought, if I could get that upset, surely other people would be upset as well. And I thought, if I can put my knowledge on paper to help other people cope with those situations, then I thought it would be, it's my duty to do so. So that's how the book came about.
Yes. And getting rid of things, it's hard to get rid of things. And so that creates an emotional response often, doesn't it?
Oh, it's huge.
And I think that then people start becoming hoarders because they can't get rid of anything. And that creates a real feeling of shame and guilt.
Well, that's another whole topic, yes. Yeah, I try and hold just to the straight downsizing of an ordinary household where some emotions may run high and there aren't people around who want what's being given away. And what do you do then? But then the whole idea a parent. As a parent, you know, if going from a house to an apartment wasn't such a big deal. I could handle that. But when she went from the apartment into one room in a nursing home where she could have very little of her own things there with her, and then there was a health component, failing health as well, it was just all too much.
Yeah,
it was too much.
It's a very emotional thing to put your mom into a nursing home. We had to do that with my dad. And oh, my. Yeah, that's a whole other emotional component.
Mm-hmm. But then to be getting rid of the family home at the same time.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Well,
my
dad went from the family home, and he did very well in getting rid of a lot of stuff, and then went into an apartment, and then went into a kind of setting where it was like it was a smaller apartment, and then into the nursing home. And it was just, I feel like he died without anything, and in a way, that was sort of liberating for him.
It can be liberating, but it also can also bring up feelings of, I worked so hard all my life, and is this all I've got left?
Yeah, which is nothing. Yeah, it's really bizarre.
So,
but of course, you can't take it with you, right? You can't take it with
you. Of course. And this is two ways of looking at it. You know, the feeling of liberation to get rid of everything and all the encumbrances, but there's also the feeling of, oh, is this where I'm going now? Like, is this what all there is? So, yeah, so there's a difference in how people handle it.
Well, you were talking in your book about, especially as it pertains to seniors, that they may be in a state of denial or they may be angry, you know, that nobody should tell me what to do. And then there's the acceptance when they realize. I think that's where my father was at. He was totally, he was an accepting kind of guy anyway, and he just took that right up until his passing.
Well, there's all those, you know, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's steps on death and dying. You know, they really apply to all kinds of situations in life. You don't have to be physically dying to go through those emotional stages.
Right.
And downsizing is certainly one example of when those feelings surface.
Right. And you give this wonderful quote here by Harrison Ford that, we're going to all have to go through big changes. In fact, that's what life is all about. So instead of we make a choice as to how we wish to respond to life and to what is happening. And he says the big changes in our lives are more or less a second chance, which is really a cool way to look at it. And then it all comes down to attitude, doesn't it? Always.
Absolutely.
Always does.
Yeah. But if there's something to look forward to, then mm-hmm. it's easier. You know,
yes,
sometimes people, if they're downsizing, moving to a smaller home, then they have the freedom to travel or freedom to not have to maintain a building, or, you know, the house cleaning alone that a bigger house takes that a smaller house doesn't need. You know, so
yeah.
it is liberating in many ways.
Oh, there's so many changes that can take place over a lifetime. And,
mm-hmm.
And just sometimes we don't see them coming.
Mm-hmm.
How do pets play into it for people?
Pets?
Yeah, pets. If people have...
Yeah, that can be...
That can
be a really big thing, because if people need to move out of their family home and they have a pet, then they have to find some place where the pet will be accepted. And there's many buildings now that don't accept pets.
Mm-hmm.
And for, you know, a variety of reasons. I mean, allergies being one of them, you know, other tenants having allergies. But then there's also the noise factor. Other people may be concerned about the yappy dog or the cat that's spraying, or, you know, all those other reasons that pets aren't appreciated in certain buildings. So that makes moving into another place very, very hard for someone who is a pet lover.
Oh, my gosh. I would think that could be one of the big losses if they have to get rid of an animal that they have had for a long time.
Well, you know, I knew somebody many years ago who I worked with, and we learned that her husband had relocated to England for his work, and she didn't go with him, but she kept up this facade about how they had moved into this downtown condo and sold their big house, moved into this downtown condo. But it was only many months later, after her dog died, we learned that he was over in England and she stayed back here because of the dog.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah. You know, because if you take an animal to England, there's a quarantine period. I think it's 6 months there.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
the dog apparently wasn't in good enough health to withstand that. So she chose to stay and wait out the dog's life.
Oh, and then she joined him.
Joined her husband over there, yeah. So,
well, that
you know,
makes sense. Yeah.
Attachment to animals is very, very strong, as you well know.
Do I ever? And they, yeah, so when you're in the process of getting rid of everything, I mean, there's a huge downsizing movement. As you say in their book, right-sizing. What's the difference between downsizing and right-sizing?
That's kind of almost splitting hairs, because downsizing indicates getting rid of a great deal of one's possessions.
Mm-hmm.
Right sizing kind of is more like a tweak. But some people use the words interchangeably. I see them slightly differently, but
mm-hmm.
it's up to the individual how they view it.
Yeah. Well, maybe there isn't much difference between the two. It's just in the way they view it.
That could be the perception.
Yeah, yeah. But,
and I guess the right sizing, you retain enough of your belongings to move into a place that's the right size for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I think I'm talking in circles.
Well, and then there's the other aspect of things, which is simplifying your life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's a whole different way of looking at it.
It is.
And maybe that's a good...
You don't need to really downsize necessarily to simplify, although it could happen. You know, the two could
mm-hmm.
be interchangeable again. It depends how you look at it and how much stuff is involved.
Right. So if you already have downsized, then simplifying is maybe just the next step.
Mm-hmm. Well, that could be part of the tweaking to right size.
Mm-hmm. 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 But, you know, we're coming to the time in our generation of people where we really have to do something, you know, and maybe we haven't necessarily started to do it yet. And that can be very overwhelming. The more stuff you have, and I bet you find that people run into problems with books. That's our problem.
Oh, books. Yeah. I'm undergoing an extreme downsizing right now myself, and
mm-hmm.
I'm an information junkie, so getting rid of books and course materials is the hardest thing for me to do. Anything
mm-hmm.
else, you know, clothes, kitchen, you know, entertaining materials, no problem. Don't use it, it's gone. But I really hang on to the books and the course materials, and I have to come to terms with that because they're not going to fit into my new place.
And so you are moving.
So I will be moving, yes.
Mm-hmm. So what is your
mm-hmm.
process for how you are? What is your date when you will be moving?
Middle of November.
So you have
until
then. Mm-hmm. And you've probably started before now.
Oh yeah, I have several boxes waiting for someone to pick them up tomorrow, and
mm-hmm.
that was just went through everything. You know, I downsized a few years ago when I moved, and this is and I've been continuously letting things go since I've been in this place, but this is extreme. I call it extreme downsizing, and I just went through absolutely everything because my friend's church is having a garage sale on Saturday, and so.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, you know, as much as I can get into boxes and send over there, then somebody can benefit from it. So that gave me the deadline. So once that's out of here, then I work on the clothes. And once that's out of here, then I start working on the papers and going through boxes and shredding and binders and deciding, you know, if it needs to be kept or not. And so the hardest part is still in front of me.
Oh, my heavens. So do you find that people have emotional attachment to every single thing that they're trying to get rid of, or are there
more?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why it's so exhausting, isn't it? It's so exhausting to go through this
Some
stuff.
Special person in their life gave it to them, or it cost a lot of money, so they figure they can't get rid of it, or the converse of that was, well, they didn't pay very much for it, so they shouldn't have to get rid of it. But it all takes up space. No matter what it is, you know, if it's expensive or cheap or a gift or whatever, it still takes up space and needs to be evaluated and decisions made as to whether it stays or goes.
I guess a lot of it has to do with people's beliefs about money and possession, and all that kind of comes into play.
And sometimes stuff is people's security, too. It's like a fortress they build around themselves. They have all this stuff, so they're protected from all the bad things that could happen in life. But, you know, we know that having stuff doesn't protect us from anything.
Well, if you've lost your home, then you must really feel very vulnerable, which a lot of, there's been a housing crunch here in America, in the United States, where people were losing their homes and probably still are, left and right. And that
foreclosures.
Is just to lose everything. Yeah, and a lot of at least 50% of foreclosures in this country occur because of medical bills that people can't pay.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other thing that's happening in both our countries and around the world is flooding and earthquakes.
Oh, yes, yes,
you know,
yes.
If your home is flooded out or it falls into a hole because of an earthquake, everything is gone.
Yeah.
And, you know, not much you can do about it. Yeah.
Mhm. Mhm.
I can't do
absolutely
anything about that.
Right. Mhm. Mhm. So a lot of and of course with climate change we're having quite a bit of those natural catastrophes occur.
Yeah.
And that it's really out
more
of people's
and more
control.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. And so do you have a niche that deals with that particular problem, and I think you've been working on that, haven't you?
Yes, I have. Actually, I do have a free report about how to prepare for emergencies, what to have ready, that if you have to evacuate your home, what do you
mm-hmm.
have ready to take with you to have sustenance and enough clothing to last you for 2 or 3 days until hopefully things settle down. So that can be acquired free at.
Oh, good.
Remember the website. Before I say it, I'm just going to check and make sure I've got the right name because I don't want to send anybody to the wrong place. I didn't expect to be talking about that. It's organizedforemergencies.com.
Oh, so you bought a domain for that?
Yeah.
I'm going to put it here in the chat room for emergencies.
Yeah, organizedforemergencies.com.
So you are recommending that people get ready and have all these things ready to go.
Well, it's just a kit. You know, we call it a grab-and-go bag. So you have things like a manual can opener, for example, and some basic canned foods that can last you for a few days, water, matches, and, of course, something that can keep them dry, something to keep the matches dry. Things like water purification tablets. If the water is undrinkable, then you can purify the water so you can drink it. You know, so it's all these little things that we can do and pack it in a backpack. So if the worst happens, it's ready. You just grab it and take off. And you have one of these for each member of the family. Maybe a change of clothes or two. Now you have to be careful about what all is going to fit in the backpack. But it can be done.
Wow, that's a great page, Maureen. It looks great. The emergency preparedness, the organized way. Good for you. Love it.
Well, I've got lots of irons in the fire, Kate. And actually, I'll tell you, you'll be the first to know, I'm in the process of writing a cookbook for emergencies. So how to prepare healthy, nourishing meals when you don't have a stove to cook on. And you're using maybe a barbecue and a fondue pot and a fire pit in the backyard. How can you cook nourishing meals and, you know, feed your family without having refrigeration or all of those should you have a power failure?
Yes. And it could be an extended power failure, as some people have experienced.
It could.
With Sandy is a good example, Hurricane Sandy.
Yeah, yeah. And a few years ago, there was the ice storm in eastern Canada and the U.S. that power was out for, well, some of my friends, they didn't have power for a whole month. I was lucky. Mine only was out for 8 days. But
wow.
You know, what do you do when you, you know, nobody was expecting this. It never happened before. And then how do you manage? You know, it's all of these life experiences kind of factor into what I'm doing in my business these days.
That's right. And the thing is that more and more people are becoming attuned to these possibilities and less in a state of denial. So I think you'll do quite well with that cookbook.
Well, because more of these kinds of events are happening, of course we're more aware because it's in our face constantly.
Yes. And there's no way of denying it.
No.
Anymore.
No.
Anymore.
No, you're right.
So would that be, is that your next step then, is to get into that whole niche of disaster preparedness?
Well, it's certainly one of the roads that I'm on. I'm kind of a split personality these days because I've got a few different things on the go, but that's one of the highest priorities. The other one that I'm working on is a membership site. And it's not anywhere near ready to go, but it's people will sign up for a monthly fee, and they will get every week material on how to be organized in different ways. I'll have the audio recordings as well as the they're not really transcripts, but the documents as well as audio recordings, and then bonus materials as things as the months roll on.
So you could have Q&A calls and have that available on the site. Yes.
Definitely.
And as well as the report them and have them have access to you and your expertise on that site.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. I've heard different ways of doing those sites where they can come in at a lower cost, a middle sort of cost, and a higher cost. The higher cost,
mm-hmm.
then, that they would have much more access to you.
Yes.
But at the lower cost, they would have more access to, say, the white papers and such.
Well, because this is my first endeavor, I'm just, it's going to be one level. Maybe as time passes and I have more material, I can offer different levels, but it's going to come in at the lowest level right now.
And, of course, there's a lot of people out there that you can JV partnership with who are into somewhat of the same thing or maybe a different aspect of what you're
mm-hmm.
into. Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. there's just all kinds of possibilities. Online we have so many wonderful opportunities to connect and to network and to broaden our perspectives. And we're really not alone here, you know, even though a lot of people feel like they are, but we're not online.
No, we're not.
We're not.
No, because as you say, there's so many, and just, you know, how you and I met was through a course we took with Devorah Lansky.
Yes.
And, you know, we've connected and other people have done the same thing. So it's just a question of, you know, meeting people online and becoming friends and working together on this or that, or maybe not, maybe just being friends online. So,
yeah, mostly we do both, be friends and work on different things. Tell us your
mm-hmm.
website, that your main website where people can get a hold of you.
Okay, the main website is decluttercoach.ca.
Uh-huh.
Now,
right.
I'll give you the book website. It's called goforwarddownsize.com.
Wonderful.
And that's all about the book, Going Forward, Downsizing, Moving, and Settling In.
And you have, how about your other books? Are they on that site as well? Because tell us about your other books.
Well, the other one that is the most popular one is called Let's Get Organized, 172
mm-hmm.
Tiplets to Simplify Life. It's available on Kindle.
Mm-hmm.
The other one that I have that is only available right now is the PDF, but that will change in the future too, as
mm-hmm.
time permits. It's called Christmas Workbook. And it's about simplifying life, evaluating what Christmas means, and deciding whether you want to keep doing the things you've always done or change them up a little bit or stop celebrating altogether. So it's an evaluation tool, and that's available from decluttercoach.ca.
Well, that's a great concept because I think that Christmas has a lot of buttons that are pushed. And
oh, sure.
That have to do, again, with how we were brought up and how our family celebrated Christmas.
And the traditions.
And in so many ways, there's been a lot of materialism, especially in America. Well, probably in Canada, too.
I think worldwide,
so,
you know.
Yeah. So this materialism seems to me what you are exploring in your book and how a more meaningful Christmas may have nothing to do with materialism.
It might not.
And all that gift giving that people just become frenzied over.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what the workbook will do is by answering the questions will help the reader decide what it really means to them and how they want to celebrate or not, if they want
mm-hmm.
to change it up. I always say, if you want to have pizza for Christmas dinner, why not? Doesn't have to be turkey and all the trimmings, you know?
Right, or ham or whatever, because people really get turkeyed out on Thanksgiving. And then, it's all that meat. You know, maybe it's time to go meatless and go green and at the very least, you can change it up with diet.
Yeah. Well, you know, in Canada, our Thanksgiving is 6 weeks before yours in the States. So we have a few more weeks to develop a taste again for turkey.
That's right. I think that you find that the Christmas book does well around the holidays?
I haven't really publicized it enough yet.
Yes.
You know, I talk about it, and I do post about it on Facebook, seasonally, but there's so much going on that it's hard for people to think of, you know, having one more book to deal with or one more project to deal with. So I'll have to figure out another way of publicizing it coming into the holiday season this year.
I'll probably have a book signing.
I could do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could do that.
Oh, yes, that's wonderful. I just had an offer to do a book signing the beginning of December at a local library. So that just came out of the blue, and I think that'll be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Because let's face it, we are online and we are marketing ourselves online, but to get involved locally too, I think is important.
It is. It is. And I don't know if you find this so much, but when I'm working on one of my books, I feel like I'm working in a vacuum. So it's good to get out and into the community and meet people and talk about things and bring a new perspective on what I'm doing at home.
Right. And of course, this year you're moving in November, so you have a lot going on right there.
Yeah, I've got a little bit too much on my plate right now.
Oh, that's funny. So tell us about your book tour, and where have you visited so far?
I have visited... Let me just tell you where I visited once I get on to my onto my website, and it's got all this great information.
Mm-hmm.
I started out on August 9th. It was actually the prelude was August 9th because I was surprised by an organizing friend, Janet Barclay. She's the organized assistant, and she posted a book review on my book, Going Forward, Downsizing, Moving, and Settling In. I had asked her some time ago to do a book review, and it appeared she saw that I was doing a book tour. So anyway, she published that. So it became the prelude. And then on August 12th, I was the guest blogger at Debbie Stanley's site, Thoughts in Order, another organizer.
Mm-hmm.
On the 13th, day two, I kind of made a fuss about my celebrity author page over on Devorah Lansky's site, being a celebrity author, become a celebrity author. The next day, the 14th, I was guest blogger at Baby Boomer Media.
Whoa, cool.
Yeah, they have a great site.
Baby Boomer Media, that sounds interesting.
Uh-huh. And then on the 15th, I posted a transcript of a Twitter view that Lynette Felt did with me the previous Saturday. So we just cleaned up the transcript and posted it on that day.
Then and tell us about it. What is a Twitter view?
A Twitter view? It's an interview on Twitter, just as the name implies. So she would ask me questions with, I'm not sure of what to call it because this is all new to me, with a hashtag code. So we'd always put the hashtag code at the end of everything we said so that if people wanted to look up something from that, they would just insert that code. And anyway, she asked me questions on Twitter and I responded to them. We did this for about 40 minutes. And then we just created the transcript from that, sort of like questions and answers.
How cool is that?
Oh, it was really fun. You know, once I got the hang of it, it was fun. It was kind of rocky in the beginning because I didn't know what I was doing. But, you know, I was sorry that it ended because I was ready to go on it. Now, she set it all up.
And you had to respond in 140 characters.
Yes.
That's always challenging.
Including the hashtag information.
That has to be included,
Anyway, we managed. Then Friday, I was at Deborah Lansky's site to become a celebrity author. So I posted, or she posted for me, a blog called The Organized Author. So we talked more about organizing there. And then...
Oh, The Organized Author. That's a really good topic. That's great.
Yeah. And then yesterday I was at Nancy Borg's site, movethemess.com, and I wrote about how moving takes preparation. Now today I'm with you. Tomorrow I'm on Lorraine McRae Castle's site at Castle Virtual Solutions. And then Thursday, I'm making a fuss about my Amazon Author Central page. We have a new component up there that I'm going to talk about. So
you're using your Amazon author page as a stop on your book tour.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have heard Deborah Lansky talk about that. That's really cool.
Yeah, that was a little tip I picked up from one of the Facebook groups that she runs.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, well, good idea, you know, because it covers different bases this way. And, you know, I'm tweeting, I'm on organizing sites, I'm on sites talking about organizing, I'm talking about downsizing. So this, and then we're talking face-to-face, telephone-to-telephone here. So it's I've covered some broad bases.
And then you can repurpose this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You can use it in different ways, and you can use it on your membership site, and that's really probably one of the greater ways to use it, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, once I get into talking about this subject on that site, I would certainly use some of this material, because not everybody who goes to that site will have read any of this. So it gives them an opportunity to get the value of what I've done before.
That's right. And then you've learned a lot along the way on how to do it, and you just simply the next time around it becomes a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
That's so true.
Yeah, it's really exciting, you know. You've got more books going than I do right now, so you understand, I think, far better than I do what the possibilities are and how exciting it is to do everything.
Yeah, and it doesn't even, like with my new program, Uprooting Our Fear of Death, the books are mentioned as part, like being sponsored by the Prayer Prescription Series, and if people are interested, they can look at that. But, you know, as Kathleen Gage said on my radio show a few weeks ago, it's all about visibility and getting ourselves out there and showing the world that we are happy people who have a lot to offer, and it's all attitude and you know, it's all part of life, and just keep on keeping on.
Yeah.
Never give up.
Exactly. You seemed interested in this babyboomers.com, babyboomermedia.com. That's really the baby boomers that I started thinking about when I was writing the book, because, you know, baby boomers are kind of reaching a retirement age now, but many of them are also caring for their parents. And, you know, the baby boomers themselves are thinking of downsizing. Their parents maybe haven't yet, but so they need help from their children to get them going and kind of hold their hand through the process, be understanding and empathetic about what their parents are going through.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also good for people who are being transferred. You know, their employment sometimes transfers them. You know, I'm thinking of the military or business executives and healthcare practitioners and so on. So the book is really for all kinds of people, not just people who are downsizing and you know, going into the last chapter of their lives.
That's right. Well, there's all kinds of different niches for downsizing, and all. I think the baby boomers are a big one. The baby boomer media, and I can't find your article on here.
Oh, it was on a couple of days ago.
Oh, so it came and went, probably.
You know,
they don't have a blog here. Yeah.
If you go to my virtual book tour page on goforwarddownsize.com.
Okay, very good.
The link is there.
Yeah, very good. I will look.
Okay.
Well, I think we've come to the end of our time together, my dear Marie.
Oh, already?
Yeah. Let me tell our audience also that you and I are accountability partners. And so we meet maybe twice a month and talk about our various projects, and we keep each other on track.
Yes, we do.
So that is our goal, and we keep to it.
We really
do. I appreciate that relationship very much.
Well, it sure helps me, too, because as I said earlier, but working in a vacuum, you know,
yeah.
My office is in my home, and I don't really, most days, if I don't have an appointment outside, I don't, my nose doesn't go out the door, so it's important to have somebody to, you know, talk to about my business, and thank you for being that person.
Oh, well, thank you for being the person for me as well. I appreciate it very much, more than you know. Yeah. My dear, so I'm going to just say goodbye, and we will meet again, and you have a great evening. Keep us posted with your great projects.
Thank you so much, Kate. It's been my pleasure.
Thank you so much. Back to you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.